हरिः ॐ
सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 23, verses 20 to 33. The king of the elephants attacked by a crocodile. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the leader of the elephants who lived in the forest of the mountain Trikuta once wandered towards the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets, and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns. Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, the tigers and other ferocious animals such as lions, rhinoceroses, great serpents, and black and white sarabhas fled in fear. The chamari deer also fled. By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, gopuchas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits, and other deer and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him. Footnote 8. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks, smaller animals moved without fear by his mercy. However, other animals avoided his glance. Okay, so in other words, if they're very small and all that, then they're not going to worry because they pose no threat. But the ones that are big and consider themselves powerful, they have to be a little more careful. Right? Surrounded by the herd's other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikuta Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried from the lake by the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates, who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake. The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear nectarian water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied. Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. By the arrangement of Providence, O King, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by Providence. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind. O King, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods were very surprised. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. Srila Prabhupada explains, in the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place, in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now from this we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna conscious movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy, in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone, and therefore there are divisions of Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Okay, so just on some points before, so we see is that Gajendra is the elephant and all these animals, then the general things on how they feel, how they think, their interactions and that are the same as what we would call common activities amongst human society. Right? Just that they don't have to go to office for their occupation. Right? But otherwise it's the same feelings, everything like this. So it's only through the Shastra then we actually realize this. Otherwise, without the Shastra we wouldn't actually know what they're thinking. Right? The difficulty is, as we see, is that the explanation of what Gajendra was going through, then that's the same for materialistic people. They're having the same illusions, working very hard in their own social environment, you know, their attachments, everything like this, without thinking of Krishna. So that's what he's doing. And so we see that there's no real difference between, you know, as Prabhupada says, so-called civilized society and that of these animals. You know, very pious. He's on Trikuta Mountain, so he's not, you know, a sinful living entity from one aspect. Another, that he's an elephant instead of a human being, that's a problem. But at least he's in a better position. So his position in his forest is way better than any position anybody has here. Right? Just in this environment. But he's still material. And so he's getting that effect. Right? So then here, then, in this example here, then it's being pointed out that we should situate ourselves where we're strong. That means, according to Varna and Ashram, that works for us. Right? In good association, following the instructions of the spiritual master, these aspects, if we follow, that will make it strong. Does that make sense? So, by associating with saintly persons, by situating ourselves properly in duties, then everything will go very nicely. Right? But if not, we move in Maya's world, we have to remember she's the strong one there. Right? And so we'll think, oh no, I can do this. What we have to remember is, here it is, you have a crocodile and an elephant. And depending on where they are, you know, if you're on the land, the elephant would be more powerful on the land. What you have to remember is the manifestation of Maya is the ekapada, you know, vibhuti. One quarter of unlimited. Right? Then we are 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, and we do not get any bigger. As the cosmos expands, the cosmos is unlimited, so she's always one quarter of whatever that unlimited is. Right? So it's a, how do you say? Yeah, it's unfair. There's no match. There's another term for it. Just means you can't, the two can't, you know. No contest. That's it. No contest. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So here is that, therefore it said, one should situate oneself like that. Okay? Then, on the comment, especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Then, next point. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. That's how Prabhupada would approach. Right? We'll approach it as a morality issue. Prabhupada, they approach it as a spiritual issue. How to situate yourself spiritually so that you're strong against Maya. Not that if there's some weakness in an area, the situation is not the ideal, so therefore then they take you and toss you into Maya. That's not the system. So Prabhupada's point was, if someone was in the position of sannyas, it didn't work out, then he would just step into the ashram that did work for him and continue the same service. Right? Well, wills, no, you can't do any of that service, can't do anything, you know, it's like, you know, don't even look at the deities, you know, you're not allowed, you know, like that, you know.
Sometimes it is.
Like, yeah, you know, it's like that. Oh, you looked at people who look at the deities, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's just not, so what has this got to do with what Prabhupada's talking about, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing? It's not about the morality. I mean, look at the stock, antyajas, making comments. That's not proper. Right? So, we're trying for a higher thing. It says that if the Shudras try for something higher, even if they don't make it, it's still considered glorious. They tried. Because the people making the comments, have they even tried? That's the point. Now, if you have others who are sannyasis, they make a comment, or someone who was a sannyasi, he makes a, but not now, and they make a comment, fine. But if you haven't tried, why are you making a comment? Because the point is to situate yourself what's best for Krishna consciousness. It's not some other purpose. It's not a morality thing. Because dharma is above morality. Morality is based on dharma. But we only take the moral part, not the dharma part. Okay, the dharma part there, the sannyasis, you know, then they're not involved with the women. What about the grihasthas respecting the sannyasis? That part we don't take. Because we're all equal. But if they do anything wrong, then we're going to get them. Same thing happens to a grihastha. Hey, it happens. It's Kali Yuga. You know, no big deal. You know, it's not nice, but hey. You understand? So it's not what Prabhupada's talking about here. So the point is, you situate yourself how you're the most strong in Krishna consciousness. So whichever position that is, that's what one takes. That's the whole purpose of it. It's not for something else. We follow Daiva Varanashram for how much it helps us in Krishna consciousness. Not that if the material benefit we'll get. So, yeah.
It's interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes, he defines pranamaya as a moral atheism.
Yes, moral atheism. Because the morality that if we say is, oh, you know, this person did this wrong, this is not, but what's the authority of that moralism? You understand? In other words, if it's morally not wrong in the modern world, the boys and girls are off in the bushes, and wow, thank God she didn't get pregnant, but Krishna's mercy, like, you know, yeah, you know, and that's it. Now, what happened to all this moralism? So in other words, it's atheistic moralism, like you're saying. It's not theistic, because theistic is what does God say about morality? So the sannyasis aren't supposed to be off with the ladies, but neither are the unmarried men. But, you know, that's cool, because that's the Malecha method, right? You mix the modes of nature and hopefully something happens.
Gandharva?
Huh? Yeah, Gandharva, which is banned in this age, along with sannyas. But hey, you know, you know, it's one of the ones that is banned. But hey, you know, we're cool.
Gandhara sounds much better.
Yeah, it sounds a whole lot better, you know, like that. And if you, that's you know, on that point, but if you want to get, you know, serious and sound good, then it, partner, de facto, like I was just, when I was last time in Australia, because it was getting too complicated, someone had helped me out. Because I was saying, is this someone, why, what do you say? It says, no, no. It says, no one says husband, wife anymore. He says they say partner, because you don't know what it is, you know. Like, you know, one time I bumped into somebody. I bumped into this girl that was talking to me in you know, at the temple and about her position and being in the temple and the brahmacharini and being as grihastha and this and that. And, you know, how, you know, like this. Then, you know, how to fight the right man, right? You know, so then I meet her years later and she's found the right man. But the man happens to be a hijra. You know hijra?
No.
Hijra means
a transgender?
A transvestite. Mm. So it was a man who now was a woman. Right? And so then, but in the relationship, because you always still have a masculine and feminine dynamic, she was the man. Yeah. Therefore, partner. Because you can't work this one out. But they were a good couple. They were. You know, you explain the philosophy, and she'd go, what? What are you talking about? And then the wife would say, because they were the man, they'd say, I'll explain it to you later. Because right? They could catch it with the man. But I'll explain it to you later, that that's their, you know, service to the husband. Yes. So. Therefore. So that's the whole point, is that so many of these things that just in modern culture will let go that are actually sinful and nonsense, we'll just say, oh, that's okay. But then on the Vedic side, then we'll be as strict as Satyayuga, you know, just like this, you know. But at the same time as ourselves, then it's another thing. So that's why we're using Daivavarnashram not because of the piety and impiety. We're using it because of the spiritual situation. How to situate ourselves so that we're best equipped to be strong in the fight against Maya. How to be Krishna conscious, how to overcome Maya. Therefore, any of the situations can be strong, so we find the one that one is most best equipped for, what one is best situated in. And as being dynamic, one moves through the system. So at any particular time, one may be situated differently. Come back after a few years, it changes. That's the advantage. While the modern, all that changes is what's popular. But same old guy. Right? That's the problem. Yes.
The doubt is that after writing about sannyas, Srila Prabhupada still gives sannyas to the young man. He continued doing
it. So. Because the point is the amount of preaching that one young man did in his years, let's say he lasted 5 years as a sannyasi, it may be more than a lifetime of most grihasthas. You know what I'm saying? There are grihasthas that go out, preach, and do really nice, and that's what we're hoping for. You know, someone's well situated there, but for most in the community, right? The temple has 15 devotees in it. The community is 300 to 500. How many are active? How many do anything? How many, they show up for Janmashtami, they might come for another program. So the whole point is we may say, oh, this doesn't, how can I be inspired in Krishna consciousness? You're not inspired anyway. If you were inspired, what would you care? You know? That's the thing, you know. If someone's inspired in something, you continue. Anything's like that. People do whatever they're doing. They're mountain climbing. People don't freeze to death on the mountain. So now that everybody stopped, the enthusiasts still continue. Just now, okay, be more careful. So that's the whole point: is that Maya can catch anybody. So we're looking at, oh, it only catches sannyasis, brahmacharis, and gurus. But the point is it that it only catches them, or she already has everybody else caught, and so they can't see it? You know. So that's the whole point is that one tries. So now Prabhupada had said everybody functioned on that sannyas platform. But were you comfortable on the sannyas platform being in the ashram of sannyas or being in the ashram of brahmachari or grihastha? Because the idea is everybody follows the path of Naishkarmya. So technically, in Daiva Varnashram in its mature stage, everybody's sannyas by mentality. Then it's just where you're comfortable. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee, but he's comfortable as a grihastha. Like that. So there's not a moment they don't think of Krishna, but you see him as a grihastha. So only at the very end of life then they're vanaprastha. Right? But you see someone like Narad Muni, you know, except for, you know, previous universe, this universe, he's comfortable as a brahmachari. You know, he doesn't, you know, another situation wouldn't be good for him. Like that. So that's the idea, is that you situate where it's comfortable for you, and that doesn't matter. So we're not worried what ashram someone's in. What we're worried about is their commitment to Krishna consciousness. So for us, it's just where is the time? So the grihastha is going to put in as much as he can, but there's going to be things he has to do in connection with family life that and kids and that he can't travel as much and do as much as the sannyasi. So that's why it's there. He does what he can, and they do more. But there's less of them, so you put it together, the volume of what the grihasthas are doing and what the sannyasis are doing may be equal, or grihasthas are doing more. But the point is everybody's pitching in. That's the idea. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's a very... in that way, that's why Prabhupada didn't have the problem. Like that. If it wasn't taken seriously and all that, then of course he would slow it down. But but otherwise, the point is if anybody becomes Krishna conscious by it, then it has a value. Like that. Because then they've done that, and then they'll step back into Grihastha Ashram, and then they'll continue preaching from there. We have you know, many like that. I mean, there's those who left, but much of the time you see those who are sannyasis, when they step back into Grihastha, they stay, and they stay as preachers and managers and quite prominent in the society. I mean, there's those who don't, of course, but... like that. So then they continue their service. That's what Prabhupada expected. If they found they're not suitable for sannyas, then they should step back into grihastha and continue the same service. Like if they were GBC, he wanted them to continue that. You know, they were preaching in particular, they'd continue that same service. He didn't want it to change. We're the ones that say, oh no, but they're morally unfit. How can we have lead like this? But how can we have atheists as leaders? We quote atheistic moralism against theistic dharma and then say that this is the higher position? Yeah. So that's the problem. The problem is not that, you know, keep standards high and this and that. The problem is the atheism. Because its basis is not based on Shastra. It's based on whatever the modern society says. So the modern society says this is bad, then if somebody does that, oh, that's bad. The modern society says it's okay, someone does it, we say it's okay.
So can we say from this example that anamaya pranamaya levels are both for human and animals?
Yes, they're the common position. But technically it says, no, you could say it is for animals specifically, and it's for those with the human form of life. Human life starts at dharma. So until one's situated in dharma, one's not technically human. So a devotee takes up devotional service, tries to situate themselves nicely as far as they can understand from shastra, that's human. But what is their authority? Shastra. But if they're quoting from the modern way of thinking, that this is authority, that's animal. Human form, but two-legged animal. Because the authority is not Vedic. The authority is not Krishna and the Acharyas and the Bhagavatam and Gita. It's just what people think. So that's the point. Okay. Okay, though one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do. And at the same time, one can be a grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended, stane stita Shruti gatam tanu van manobihi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. Right? So it's not that, why we're saying is this age is sannyas is forbidden. It means that you don't require it to get to the purpose of the Vedic society, which is to bring yourself to the transcendental position. Before, it was expected that you would take yourself through to that. Right? But here it's that one has to come to the platform of the mentality of sannyas. So that can be cultivated right from the beginning. We see Prahlad Maharaj as, technically he's not even in Gurukul, right? So he's not really fully a brahmachari. But he's already cultivated that. So it can be done at any time. That's the idea. That makes sense? That's what we're trying to get to. Okay. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. So Prabhupada's point was that one must continue one's Krishna consciousness and everything like that. That's the whole point. So it's about how to make everybody Krishna conscious, how to give the best facilities. That's the preaching, that's the association. If we just make rules and regulations and all that that aren't based on Shastra, then that's, nobody likes a bureaucracy. Everybody writes against it. So it's not that if we do it, it's fine. Like that. And they've been writing about it for a long time. Like 1984 is wasn't written way before 1984. Right? I remember seeing things, movies and stuff based on the 60s and 70s. So I think it goes way back. I'm not sure. Animal Farm goes way back. And then you have, what's that weird guy who wakes up in the morning and he's a cockroach?
Oh, yeah, that's
Yeah, I think it's late 1800s, like that, you know, or early 1900s. So this concept and understanding the problems of bureaucracy, that's always been around. It goes back even back in the Roman time. Caesar was killed on one level because he didn't support the bureaucracy. You had a whole bunch of guys nicely situated. He was trying to get them to do more. They didn't want to. So they get rid of, you know, the easiest thing is get rid of him. Unfortunately, as stupid things go, every last one of them was gotten rid of also. You know, so I think down to the last man, I think it was very specific. You know, I mean, I think one of them, they chased him all the way to Egypt. And another one was in Egypt and they went and collected him. Yeah, yeah, like that. And the other one was going there, the one who organized the army and was fighting. He went to Greece and then he escaped it. So the point is it's always been seen as something bad.
Plato writes about it.
Sorry?
Plato also writes against it.
Plato writes against it, and so that takes it back even a few more thousand years. So that's the whole point. It's not a new thing. So it's never been good. So it's not that if we introduce it now, it'll suddenly be fabulous. Because it's not in the spiritual world, so it has to be a material concept, and in the material world, everything gives trouble. So, right then. Yes?
On another point, here it says that if one is agitated, he should enter Grihastha ashram. I think there is lots of misconception about this in our movement, because that's how everybody views it, instead of... How can it be presented that it's a step up for a brahmachari if he doesn't...
That's there, of course. Of course, it's not seen that being situated there is a step up, because the socially the grihastha is more respectable than the brahmachari. If someone's a committed brahmachari, then they'll be in a senior... They'll be like the vanaprasthas, right? They're not the same status as the sannyasis, but they're in the vanaprasthas, so they'll be senior. But that's those who are, you know, committed to brahmacharya. But for the young ones who are there and then they get married, then that's standard. It's a step up. You take them as responsible. Before that, it's just they can't figure out, you know, where anything is, how it works, or anything like that. Except for the bucket of halava. That they got down. They know where that is. They're quite confident, actually. So there's that aspect. Then there's the other aspect, is that the idea is that if someone is trying to be brahmachari or sannyas or like that, then they're being dishonest. So the problem goes both ways. So basically you have untrained brahmacharis who then become grihasthas, you know, by going through the shame and all that of stepping down, then they, when they become more confident and situated as grihasthas, then those same previous brahmacharis start to harass the brahmacharis. Like that. I think nowadays it's not as much, but in the 80s this was pretty standard.
Not as many brahmacharis.
No one to harass anymore. It's not.
No fun.
Now you have to harass each other. Right? And then that's the problem. The brahmacharis, they're easy to harass. The other grihasthas aren't so easy to harass, right? But, okay. So that aspect is there. It has to be understood as that it's a good step up. At the same time, it's not that one's agitated by sexual desire, that means if it can be controlled and one doesn't actually need to be involved in it, but it comes up, but you can deal with it, then there's no need to go into grihastha ashram. So this idea is, no, if there's any thought, then you have to be, that's also wrong. You know, that there's no one should, if you become a grihastha, that's maya, or if you don't become a grihastha, that's maya. Both are a problem. Huh?
Everything's fine.
That's another perspective. Then you become grumpy and move into an old shack somewhere, right? You know.
What Tanaki says about marriage, if you think.
Tanaki's point is, if you don't know whether you should eat or not eat, don't eat. If you don't know whether to travel or not travel, don't travel. If you don't know whether to get married or not get married, get married. Like that. Because if you cannot be married, you don't think about it. Now and again it may come up, but it's not something you think about. So if you're thinking about it, you should get married. But for someone who could be a Naistika Brahmachari, they don't think about it. Like that. Doesn't mean that the mind doesn't become agitated now and again, but then they can control that. So that's the idea. So one has to balance it. You know, it's just like you have the Catholics that, you know, you can't be married. And then I think Jews, Muslims, you have to be married. If you're not married, you're in Maya. You know, so this idea that Jesus wasn't married and he was a rabbi, totally bogus.
Yeah, that's why he's got in trouble. That's why he's got in trouble.
Oh, because he was married?
No.
Oh.
But
at the same time, as at the end of the day, when he's there at the end, who's sitting down at the bottom? It's only two ladies. Everybody else is split because they're worried they're going to end up there also. Yeah.
So, you can only cross ladies.
Of course. That's the natural conclusion. Actually, natural would be the wrong thing. The absolute conclusion. Right? Yes, of course. Okay. But, but one must continue. Okay. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the grihastha ashram and fight maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fighting and go away. So that's the whole problem. Is that because there's material desire, one shouldn't think, oh, I can't do this Krishna consciousness. That's just maya. She's good at it. So you just have to continue the fighting. Does that make sense? So we can see here, one's not in the transcendental position to take sannyas artificially. So that would mean you're either super pious person, and so therefore one's senses are very much in control, the knowledge, the renunciation, the simplicity are just materially very natural for you. Right? And so then from that platform one can take sannyas, and then by performing devotional service in that position, one will develop the transcendental position. That would be the artificial side. The other side is, if you're not from that kind of background, the only way that we can function in that capacity is by the transcendental position of devotional service. I mean, technically, to be actual grihasthas, it's only because of devotional service. You know, that's because we're devotees, that's why we can do properly any of the ashrams. Like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued. What? Okay. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence, and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Srila Prabhupada comments, four kinds of pious men, namely one who is in danger, one who is in need of money, one who is searching for knowledge, and one who is inquisitive, begin to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be saved or to advance. Right? So inquisitive and knowledge. So we see there's a difference. Knowledge means knowledge about the Supreme Lord Himself. Inquisitive means, you know, just it sounds interesting, all this Vedic stuff and all that kind of jazz. You know? Yeah. Okay, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord in order to be saved or to advance. The king of the elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says that those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, so this is how he's thinking, right? The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. 32. The material world is described as padam padam yad vipadam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, which means that at every step there is danger, patigya. A fool wrongly thinks that he is happy in this material world, but in fact he is not. For one who thinks that way is only illusion. At every step, at every moment, there is danger, right? So that's the reason, right? Now, giving the examples. In modern civilization, one thinks that if he has a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car. But as soon as one is on the road, there is danger, because at any moment an accident may take place and one will be killed. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. I'm not sure what it is now, but when I was a kid, it was 50,000 a year. I'm sure it's increased.
Much more.
Yeah. That was in America.
In India.
You said it wouldn't growl or bite or
not much.
Snack.
Not much.
It's getting upset that the other one's too close. No. Therefore, we actually think that this material world is a very happy place. This is our ignorance. Right? So that's the example. Is that we say that all these things will make you secure and happy, but when you actually get them, then they're dangerous. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows, and may try to take care of ourselves. But unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless, right? So the point is, we think I'll become perfect by making my arrangements, right? Increasing material facilities, opulence, position, all these different things. But as soon as you get them, it's more dangerous, right? If you think, if I have a position, I'll be stronger, but as soon as you're in a position, everybody's after you. Right? Think, oh, the guy in the position is after me, but everybody else is after him. That's why he's after you. Right? So it just kind of goes around, like a dog chasing its tail, right? You know, kind of. Yeah. So how to put this together? I want to be safe, and at the same time is, how do you say? The things that my arrangement in the material world don't make anyone safe. Therefore, it's Krishna is the only one that can actually create safety, because he's in control of all this, right? Okay. So therefore, then all therefore, you understand this is the meaning of upanaya. It brings it near. You bring the two close to each other. You have that. You have one idea. There's you know the main idea and the two how they connect to each other, right? So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitarau nrsingha nartasya chagadam udavati majato now tapasya tat prativritir nat ihan jasheshtas tavad vibho tanu britam tavad upekshitanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:9-19. We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Right? So we want to make an endeavor to make ourselves happy, but unless you take shelter of the Lord, you can't do that. What's the position? We want to make the endeavor that creates the facility we like. Where do we? But at the same time, is it only work if we take shelter of the Lord? Where do those two meet? Right? In the principal position, it meets in devotional service, so we can perform an activity in devotional service that pleases the Lord, and by that, then he takes care. On the secondary, what does that mean? Following the laws of the Lord, right? Therefore, then by following by the directions that are given in the shastras, then we can be in a position to in that position serve the Lord, then it will work out nicely. So we're making our endeavor, but it's in connection with the Lord. But since it's connected to the Lord, the endeavor's got to be one that he's going to be pleased with, not us. Right? It means, you ever have the experience where someone's really, really, how you say? Oh, what would be the proper term? You say, it means they're very proud of themselves for what they did. You know, they've done that and it worked out well and they're really proud of themselves. And yeah, this worked out. Does anybody really appreciate that attitude? No. So that's the point, is that it's not that we do, so it's not what we do, it's what we do to please the Lord. So if we do what we do to please ourselves and connect that to the Lord, then the part, the connection to the Lord, that's of value. But the part where we're doing it, we think that we're doing a great job, that has no connection with Krishna consciousness. That's the anartha part. That's the mixed part. We connect it to Krishna, that's the bhakti part. So we will advance. Right? But we're being held back by that other part. So that's why the Vedic is, follow the directions given by the Lord. Then it makes it so much easier. Does that make sense? Like that. That's why I say yes.
Does it mean that this like security that everybody is searching for is like included in the directions of the Lord?
Why wouldn't they? It's his creation. Means, let us look at nature. Let's say there's nature and man doesn't even go there. Is it doing fine? In fact, if somebody comes across it and has a good camera and all that, it's the next article in, you know, how you say, National Geographic. It's on the Discovery Channel, being on every major thing, this and that. You know, Oprah will be talking about it. It'll all be happening. And then after that, you don't hear about it anymore. Why not? Because some big fat businessman goes in there and builds condos. Right? So the point is without human beings, the material energy goes on perfectly. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, the question is man going to fit into this already perfect system? That's what he said. It's a complete system. Nature is complete. So we want to fit into it. So do we fit into it by following God's laws or make up our own? Right? Basically, you could say, well, 110 years ago, 110 to 120 years ago, maybe even 130, the idea came up that the reason people in the hospital, you know, that get any kind of, you know, anything with the skin is broken, either by accident or surgery and that, why they get infections and die is because there's microorganisms that do that. most of the medical community rejected it. Just flat out rejected it. But some people, they kept at it and that, and they were getting results over many, 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 many years. Then it kind of, you had to look at it. Just because it was obvious, hey, they're doing something. You know, half of our patients die, his don't. Why not? You know? That kind of, you know, and that's pretty gross. You know, it means, and you know, it doesn't take a, you know, basically most anybody else other than the doctor could have already appreciated that. Right? In fact, that's probably why they had to change, because all the patients went to those other doctors and they didn't get any business anymore. So therefore, if they accept the principle, okay, that there's microorganisms there, then okay, people will come in. You know, sense. So it's just economics. So how advanced, right? And Western medicine, we could say, in its, you know, kind of more has been around for hundreds, thousands of years. And they only figured that out? Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation is talking about the Indragopa, which means all those guys that give you an infection. Like that. That's why in the Vedic system everything's clean. They don't use surgical steel for surgery. They use pure gold. That's the standard. You know? So why? Because of these things. So that's the thing, is when you follow the Shastra, it already is complete in itself. It has how humans can fit into the already perfect arrangement that's there. In fact, that perfect arrangement is there is only for the purpose of human beings coming to God consciousness. So for humans to fit in is actually the purpose. So this idea is that, oh, we can't get everything from the Vedic culture. It's kind of like, well, what those people that say you can't get it, what are they getting? Do they really have anything? Mm-hmm. I haven't met someone who is actually materially successful, sustainably, and he's making these points. It's not that they're not there, but I haven't met them. The ones that I've met that are materially successful, they're the ones that are more easily understand that I'm successful because I follow laws. And these aren't just laws that my boss said. These are laws that go across, you know, the economic and social and, you know, political stratus. It doesn't matter, stratum, wherever you are, they work. So they know that there's universal law. So when you point out that here is the authority of those things, and this is where it's originally from, they take it real easy. You understand? It's the guys with BAs. They're the guys that fight it tooth and nail. Can you do anything with a BA? Can you make money? Does it guarantee you perfect family life, friends, position? No. So that's the problem. Real successful people, they can see the value. Those who think they're successful or think they're smart, they're the ones that oppose. And that opposition, as it says, as in the previous point, what kind of people surrender and what kind of people don't. So those that surrender and take it up are pious, and those who don't, it's impiety. So if an individual opposes the Vedic culture, that's his impiety speaking. He thinks it's my intelligence and my great devotion that's speaking. No, it's your impiety that's speaking. So that means Prabhupada doesn't make it so blunt, but the point is then don't mess with you know, saying that Prabhupada and they don't know what they're doing, because if you do, you'll only put yourself into a bad situation. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudhas, rascals. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhama. Right? So a mudha, okay, I understand a mudha. He doesn't know, it's not what's been going around. It's like that one day we were in Calcutta. And I don't think it happens now, but it used to happen, that you park your car, and then there's these guys that go around and let the air out of your tires. And then when you come back, and then they come by, oh, you need some help and all that and all that, and then they'd fix your tire for a fee. So we knew what was going on, so we wouldn't want to deal with them, because, you know, they take the tire off. Who knows what's going to happen? They roll it off down the road. What are you going to do? Like that. So we just drove the car with a flat tire. Now, when you drive a car with a flat tire, it makes weird noises, and the tire goes weird. And all the street dogs, they had never seen anything like that before. They're freaking out. You know, it's just like, you know, the aliens had attacked or something. So they're there barking and this and that. So that's the mood off. It's different. They don't know it. They just bark. So I understand that, right? Because that's an animal. But the next one, Naradama, is lowest of man. That means they're lower than animals. They have the brains. They have the facility. They have the opportunity to take the Krishna consciousness. But due to their pride, due to their sin, they think it's not valuable. That's why Narada, Muda, we take it, Muda's on the bottom of the pile. Socially, he's on the bottom of the pile. But Naradama is actually the lowest. Just like between a Karmi and a Mayavadi, the Mayavadi is actually lower. Socially, he's higher. You respect him because of his renunciation and everything, but actually, consciousness, he's lower. Like that. There's an easier shot for a Karmi to take up devotional service than a Mayavadi. So in the same way is that for the mudha, if you can convince him, then he can do, and he'll plod along and probably be quite steady. But the Naradama, he's got a million reasons why it's not important. He's the guy that has the social position and status. So instead of trying to impress the Naradamas, we should be trying to impress, you know, the jnanis. Like that. We just picked the wrong the wrong group, you know, like that. Or the inquisitive, like that. So. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take to Krishna consciousness because they think that they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. That's the meaning of demoniac. Doesn't mean you have big teeth and red hair. Like that. You might have, but that doesn't necessarily. It means that you think that my plan will save me, not taking shelter of Krishna. That's the difference. Demigod means there's trouble, he takes shelter of Krishna. Demon means he gets into trouble, he makes a new plan. Right? Yes.
We see that with this example, it took him 1,000 years. He was fighting himself.
Very good point. Wait a minute. Yes. But 1,000 years, but then you put it into the context that he could fight for 1,000 years, so therefore it took him 1,000 years to figure it out. We may be only able to fight for 5 minutes, so hopefully we can figure it out in 5 minutes. It's not so much time bound as how much time you think you can do it yourself. So it took him 1,000 years because he thought, I, as the big elephant, king of elephants, you know, I march down the road, everyone's afraid of me. You know, like that, he thought he could do it. But then when he saw he can't do it, then he took shelter.
Yeah, because I was thinking the next example is Draupadi. She was also fighting shorter,
yes, yeah.
But still she tried. So
yes.
Is it a natural position of a living entity,
yes,
to
yes.
try on his own?
Yes, that's the whole point. He drew it. So it's only with time and training then you just see is that it's crucial. It's not that you don't make the endeavor. Just like he is the elephant, it's his business to make the endeavor. But the point is if he had made that endeavor in the beginning and surrendered to the Lord, then either he would have been successful from that point, or the Lord would have showed up sooner. So we see is that when she surrendered at that moment, then Krishna was there.
Yeah.
Like that. But before that, then she thought she could do it. So. Yes.
Then regarding plans.
Plans, okay.
Demons, they take shelter in their plans, but
yes.
Our endeavor also to make plans to show
yes.
to Krishna.
But that's
sense.
True. Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's not Krishna. Yes. Yeah, so that the point is we're trying to be Krishna conscious. We use our intelligence, make plans, and make our endeavor.
And if this is not successful, it means the plan was not good?
You have to look at it. Okay. Was it a good plan? You know, was it, you know, bad consciousness? You know, was it, I had a great plan and great consciousness, but everybody else was, you know, not cooperating? Couldn't they understand? Like that. Or, you know, actually, I did not deserve this, and Krishna gave me more than what I deserved. You know. Yeah, well, that was this morning's discussion. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that no, it's a matter of that's why duties are there, because duty then defines where you make plans. So we make our plans, but the point is that for those with the divine consciousness, they depend upon the Lord for the result. For those with the demoniac consciousness, they think my endeavor will produce the result. That's the difference. So making plans is not the problem. It's that thinking that because of my plan, that's where I'll get my result, rather than I make the plan trying to please Krishna, and Krishna being pleased, then I get my result. Yeah, and if we don't, then we just see how we can improve it to make it work nicer for Krishna. Is that okay? Yeah.
Maharaj, Draupadi was educated. That's why she could surrender very easily. But earlier she wasn't, and she had to give her body up. Twice she did. Once when Ravana was disturbing her. And then.
No, but that's because she didn't want to be disturbed, so she just gave up her body. She was a yogi. It wasn't that she had to. Right? It's just that's
that time
one
she
option.
Was uneducated. This time she hadn't had that much distraction.
Okay, but okay. Yes, but so then what is your... I didn't quite catch what's the point you're trying to get to.
I was saying to surrender. Some couldn't, some could.
Yes, but the point is that what's Krishna conscious movement for?
Get trained and...
Yes, so as long as we're trying to do what we're supposed to do, then people get trained and then we can apply it. If you want to take the angle, she wasn't trained, that's why now is being trained, she could do it. Before she wasn't trained, she couldn't do it. So therefore, what's the point? We should get trained.
Yeah.
So it's a mission of we train by training others. We learn, we try to practice, we try to give that to others, and that way we learn, you know, like that. So that's the point of international society. Right, the society of those who are trying to be Krishna conscious, then working together, then they support each other and things like that. Yeah? Okay. 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 Okay, those who are the lowest of men refuse to take to Krishna consciousness because they think that they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. Right? So it doesn't change anything. The material position stays the same. You connect to Krishna, and then there's something. So, because he's in control of the material energy, so therefore that brings together our doubt that might come up from the point that's made. The point is made is this material world is always danger. But we think, no, but I'll make some arrangement. But the point is only Krishna can actually make that arrangement. We can simply make an endeavor for an arrangement under his shelter. Right? And those who don't do that, then that's their mistake. Then they'll suffer.
That's all Gita says, give up gain and safety.
Give up gain and safety, because we're thinking, I'll create the gain and safety. No, we take shelter of Krishna. And at the same time, as we're not approaching Krishna for gain and safety, we're approaching Krishna for devotion. And the gain and safety just is thrown in as a side thing, right? You know, you buy the nice perfume, and they throw in all kinds of samples on the side, right? Like that. So gain and safety are the samples on the side.
So Mishra...
Karma Mishra Bhakti
would be pray to Krishna.
Not Mishra Roti.
No.
Okay.
That means pray to Krishna and hope for gain and safety?
No. You pray to Krishna and hope to become a pure devotee of Krishna.
No, that's...
You mean, so in other words, you make the you perform the duties that you're supposed to do, like the grihastha does economic development for the family, tries to take care nicely and shelter everybody. That's what he does as a duty. But that the results will come, that's based on the Lord. The Lord sanctions, it happens. He doesn't sanction, it doesn't happen. So, therefore, why worry about that? Worry about the becoming Krishna conscious. Because why would you want gain and safety? What's the advantage?
To be more Krishna conscious.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Is that so therefore you only have to pray for the one. Krishna will take care of those things. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The decision of the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, the point is that the place is material danger, and it's been confirmed here. It is a place of danger. But what's the difference between the nigamana and the pratigya? That the nigamana, now how are you going to apply that? That's it. It can be just in your basic that it just comes back to that point and just states it again. But the actual point is having come. So what's the solution? That's why then we say siddhanta. That's the actual solution. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. The material is described as padam padam vipadam yad vipadam, which means that every step there's danger. Therefore, in such a dangerous position, one should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's you can understand. It's the next. Does that make sense? So this is, if you look at it, basically every one of Prabhupada's purports works in this way. Like that. Some are real short, so it'll be very, very, you know, condensed. Like that. Or he's just making a comment, you know, some fact on something or like that. But otherwise, when he's fully giving what the hope, he'll give the. So you always see the first sentence and the last are the what's the point. So we use Tatparyalingas, what's the opening and closing, then you know that's the topic. Then in between will be, then right after that immediately will be a reason, after that will be your examples, and then he'll pull it together to show how Krishna consciousness solves whatever problem there is. Like that. How everything's connected back to Krishna. Right? Because that's going to be your upanaya. Because the point bringing near is that you have something in the material world, it's only going to be solved connected to Krishna. So then the point is depending on what field you're working in what aspect you connect it to Krishna. So that's what the upanaya does. Yeah. Right? The example shows that anything that, no, but this can't be right, it shows, no, it is right. But then what you're going to, then it shows how to connect it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sometimes we do not even have all the five angas, you know, panchamayas.
Sometimes the first and second are grouped together. Sometimes the third and fourth are grouped together. Sometimes the fourth and fifth are grouped together.
Even like you have the doubt that the opposite party...
No, but you don't need to have the doubt.
Yeah, sometimes it is not there.
No, you don't have to have the doubt for it to happen. The point is you're just explaining it. So why would you explain it? Because there's a doubt, but it may not be specific, so you just explain it. So then when there is a doubt, that will come up because you make your point, you explain it, so then they have a specific doubt. So sometimes you see in this Udaharana probably deals with a specific doubt, or sometimes many, big purports. Then each paragraph may be dealing with a different doubt. You know, like that. So then he'll mention it. Some may say, you know, or what is
one
it?
One may argue.
Yeah, one may argue, you know, these different things, or in the modern society, you know, things like that. That's bringing in the doubt, the shamshaya. So what we're saying here, this is the logical presentation. Now, as there's a doubt, then you work it in. But you're going to work with the doubt in your Udaharana and your Upanaya. That's the place where it goes. That's why when you have Shamshaya, you already have your point. And then you deal with it in here. So then your Siddhanta just means you've taken all that and put it together.
The final conclusion, Siddhanta.
Yeah, but I'm saying when you only see the Vishaya, the Shamshaya, Purvapaksha, and then Siddhanta, it means Siddhanta included the Udaharana, Upanaya, and the Nigamana. You understand?
Yeah.
And it will move in that order. And their Shamshaya means they have a problem with your reason.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Like if you're saying that that Indra, when you talk about Indra saying about worship him and you'll attain to the, you know, the Supreme, if you're translating that as Jiva, Do the Shankarites have any problem with that?
No, they haven't.
No, so therefore, it's not really the pratigya that's the problem. It's coming out that you hate to.
Okay, so that's how it is. Samshaya is for the hetu, not for the pratigya. Okay.
It means that hetu is explaining the pratigya. So yeah, sometimes yeah. It'll be two. Sometimes they put it together in the same sentence, like that. You know, like that. He'll say the living. Prana means the supreme because of the context. So the because of the context, that's the hetu.
That's the hetu. Yeah.
But they'll say no. But the context here says this.
Yeah. Yes.
You understand?
Yes, yes.
So the doubt comes up when you make your reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
You understand? Yes. So if I say, Krishna is God, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, will Mayavadis have a problem with that?
No.
No, because then in the explanation, so we're all God. They're great. You know, like that. But when I say, then the thing, he's the supreme, he's, you know, the control, he's there in the creation, maintenance, destruction, he alone is there. Everybody else is his servant. Now they have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So that's why what we're saying is that you make your point, you give your reason. The reason where you put hetu and then their doubt, they're in the same spot.
Yes.
And then when you get into Udaharana, you're simply removing doubts. It's the same. So your tarka, your argument is going on there. And then having defeated them, now you're going to show in the Upanaya where what they're saying and what you're saying are common, but you have to see it from the perspective that you're presenting. So, in other words, what Vyasa is presenting already includes what they're looking for. They're just looking in the wrong place. They've made a mistake in their interpretation. That's the Upanaya, right? You defeated their points, and you show what the essence, what they're looking for, is already included in yours. So the Vedic is not just to defeat the guy and, you know, trash him. The point is you're defeating and then showing how, therefore, what he was looking for, he was looking in the wrong secondary, because now, by understanding the primary, he can see where else he should have been looking. Then, having understood that, then you bring it back, okay, here's the practical application of that. Right? Krishna is God, therefore we should surrender. Right? Because they're thinking Krishna is God and I'm God and you're God and we're all God and it's all God. Right? You know? Yes.
So then the Upanaya will be a test for their piety.
Yes, that's the whole point. In other words, the Upanaya is, do they really want answers? So in other words, when you defeat them and you bring it to Upanaya, and the person will not accept, that means they're not looking for truth.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, don't bother arguing anymore. It's a waste of time. Because that's at that time, then that's when they'll start using chala and all kinds of other things, you know, all these improper usages of logic just to defeat you. You understand? But someone who's sincere, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Prakashananda Saraswati, now these are great scholars. You know, so it's not that, okay, he went out and, you know, some random sannyasi on the street, he caught him and had his big Chaitanya Charitamrita discussion with him. No, these were the biggest, in other words, of Mayavadi scholars in India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the scholar. Of sannyasis in that line, then it was Prakashananda Saraswati. He's got 10,000 sannyasi disciples. He's big. Right? And so then they're looking for the absolute truth. They've only found it up to the point of Brahman. Right? And coming from the Shankara school. So then even there it's weak. It's not like Sukadeva Goswami or something. So then when they hear from him and he explains it, they accept. Because they're looking for truth. That's the whole point. So you see that. The ones that don't, because you see it's like the other day we were discussing that, how did Lord Chaitanya discuss with the Buddhists? Right? They brought the plate, but it was some non-veg thing, you know, like that. Who does that? Right? And so then an eagle comes along, catches the plate and what's on the plate, takes the, you know, the non-veg stuff and drops the plate on their head. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Okay.
So that's Lord Chaitanya's sila.
Yes. Yes. In other words, that food is for eagles. Right. Now, so the eagle thanks you, and Lord Chaitanya drops the plate on your head. Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord. The Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him, the great and powerful supreme authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. Srila Prabhupada concludes, one who is intelligent understands that there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Paritra Naya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, Bhagavad Gita 4:8. The Lord appears in his various incarnations for two purposes, to annihilate the Dushkriti, the sinful, and to protect his devotees. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto him. This is intelligent. One must know that great supreme personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence this supreme authority, the supreme person. In the Shruti mantra it is said, it is out of fear of the supreme personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing, that the sun is distributing heat and light, and that death is chasing everyone. Right? Who wants to chase everyone all day, every day? You'd rather sit at home, right? Like that. You know? Yeah, yeah. Because it's nice there. He's got a good, nice place. Why does he want to run around out of all these guys, you know? You know? Like that. You know? Like that. But he does it out of fear of the Supreme Lord. Right? Otherwise, you know, he wouldn't do it. You know? Thus, there is a Supreme Controller, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. 9:10, Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material manifestation is working so well because of the Supreme Controller. Any intelligent person therefore can understand that there is a Supreme Controller. Furthermore, the Supreme Controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramachandra, to give us instructions to show us by example how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet those who are Duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. Namam duskritino mudha prapadnyante naratama. Right, so when he lists all the impious persons, then the Muddhas and the Naradamas are mentioned, along with the Asuras and the Mayaya Pratijnanas, right? But in here, he just mentions these two. So in other words, you can understand these are the main. And in one sense, you could take it that if your intellectual is very gross and rough, then technically, yes, his intelligence is stolen by illusion, but he's a Mudara Naradama, like that. And if he's, you know, sophisticated Asura, then he, like this. So they fit into these two categories. Either they're too dumb to see what's going on, or they think they're too smart. Like that. Okay, Bhagavad Gita 7:15. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Mrityu sarva harascham. Bhagavad Gita 10:34. I am all-devouring death. Thus, Mrityu, or death, is a representative who takes everything away from the living entity, who is accepted a material body. No one can say, I do not fear death. This is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. However, one who seeks shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be saved from death. One may argue, does the devotee not die? Right. So we see here before is that he was confirming about his position. He's the supreme controller and everything. Right. So he dealt with that doubt. Right. Because your point is that what is here, that one who is intelligent understands that there's a supreme authority. Right. And then understanding that, then he can understand that that's the Lord. right? And so then the point is, one should surrender to him. Then in that, then how he is and what his position is. So then it's Lord Chaitanya and everything like that. Now another doubt comes up as you say, okay, he can save you from death, but now here's the point. Does the devotee not die? So here's the second Shamshaya, right?
Yes.
Yeah, see? The answer is that a devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. The difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. So that's the real point. This body will be given up, but you won't get another one of these material bodies. Right? But for anybody else, then they get another material body. So they haven't been saved from death. Right? That doesn't mean that one doesn't leave the body, doesn't die, but you're saved from the fear of death. Because in the spiritual body, there's no fear of death. For the who is protected by Krishna, who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. This is assured in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Chaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjunam. A devotee, after giving up his body, does not accept a material body, but returns home, back to Godhead. We are always in danger because at any moment death can take place. It is not that only Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was afraid of death. Everyone should fear death because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle for existence in this material world, in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life, right? So that's your
nigama.
Yeah, your nigama, right? So then the point before is that how do you put this together, right? The doubt is there. He's the supreme. He saves you from death, but the doubt comes up. Devotees die. No, it's because they'll never have to worry about death again, right? So that then brings it near. Then the whole point is, therefore, one should the best course. Therefore, that's now you know you're a nigama.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, whenever you see the therefore,
hence.
Yeah, hence, that's always the final thing. Like that. Sometimes he'll do that as the nigama.
The
upanaya. No, udaharana, that'll always be examples and going through and like that. But, you know, it'll come there or there. Like that. So that's how you can tell by looking at the purport. So that's the point, as we say, he's speaking in lay language. Yes, that's so we can understand. But it's not that he's not technically using the grammar of Sanskrit. You know, and how it works and logic and everything like that. He's using it, just he's using lay language, so he don't have all the technical points and this and that. But you can tell by what words are used what is happening. Does that make sense? That's the amazing thing. That's what others don't catch. Because the point is how he's dealing is just as technical as we see Vishwanath, Baladev, Jiva Goswami, these other, it's just as technical. Just he's taken that technicality. That's the meaning of being a Shaktivesh. He can take that and then turn it into just normal language, you know, conventional language. So he can say what the great personalities say, what the optus say, in conventional language. But it has the structure so that once we start to learn the technicalities of the optus language, we can see that it's here also. That's the whole point. There's no change. So that's why it's seamless. So it's like, oh, he gives the basic and then we have to go to others. Only fools say that. Or, they're not a fool, then they're very mistaken. That makes sense. That can't be said. In other words, someone has not studied enough. Someone doesn't have the proper... Right? Because it is there. Prabhupada said everything's in the books. That means the Panchanganyaya, the Tatparya Lingas are there. All the different technical... It's all there. It's just that we have to know how to see it, whether the word's used. So he has to pick a word that's not just today. We want to go, oh no, but you have to use it in today's language. But tomorrow, today's language doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like I say, wow, that's really righteous. You know, so you got, what's the guy, is this guy from? Awesome. You know, it's like, you know, what's wrong with this guy? You know? So that's why he uses a language that will be useful for the next 10,000 years. So we have to understand what we're dealing with. Founder Charya is not just some guy. You know? You just happened to get on the right boat. If you had taken the next boat, then it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have worked out. You know, because that hippie that invited him down to the Lower East Side, you know, he would have already moved on because he would have gone to Woodstock and wouldn't have been there, and so then it wouldn't have happened, right? You know. Yeah. Oh.
One chapter a day.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, is that there's more chapters, but they're smaller. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, is that you should go through it quick. But I'm just saying that.
So
we
can skip the parts.
No, you don't skip. You do do that. This is the part you skip here. See this big part here? You just do this little part right here, and all this you can skip.
Okay. Proper vision.
Okay. Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Pratigya. When a devotee is in danger, he sees the danger to be the great mercy of the Lord, because it is an opportunity to think of the Lord very sincerely with undiverted attention. So this is something that we're not used to, is that we're used to religion means get good stuff, good situations, good positions, good everything, you name it, it's good. Right? Irreligion means you don't get all that stuff. It means you already tried that. That's why now we're back to religion. Right? But then here it's that the difficulties that come up, that there are opportunities to surrender to the Lord. That we don't necessarily look at. Right? Because that's generally reserved for the saints. Right? You know, the saints, they were the ones that got, you know, martyred and got into all the problems. And they get big saints, right? You know, but I'm not worried about being a saint. I just want the good stuff. Like that. So, this chapter is to point out how, no, actually, this is the, you know, is also mercy.
But can we say that we usually rationalize the philosophy or philosophize when those things happen? So we try to explain to us, to ourselves, that it's actually mercy, even though we don't see it like that.
No, but the point is here, is that this is, in other words, it helps us look at it that way. That means that we're taking that middle, that where the sandhya is. We're thinking it's not actually nice, but the philosophy says it is nice, so therefore we kind of like, you know, make ourselves feel better by being, we can't, means we're not making it materially, so at least we can try the spiritual part. You know? Yeah, but the point is if one continues doing that, one will get purified. Because if you're doing it because that's what the great personalities have given us, we'll get purified. And then at some point we will see like that.
We won't get those.
Hey, wait. Did Yudhishthir have problems?
We always come back to the same people.
You want someone else? Okay. Who else? Okay. Did Bilbo Baggins end up with a very peaceful shire, you know, after his exploits?
Yes.
What about Frodo? Yeah. In fact, Bilbo got a great expense-paid trip on a ship that went west. I'm not sure why he went west, but probably when he got to New York that he decided, hey, came back. Okay? Yeah. Is that example work better? Or?
Okay, I have to think about it.
Okay.
She doesn't know the
Oh, okay.
I know.
Wait a minute.
That's an offense.
Okay. Did Harry Potter end up with Gina? And he had a nice family, and they also went to the same Hogwarts. Okay, so then, what's the problem?
It was just a doubt.
Just a doubt, okay. Now the doubt is cleared. Okay.
Ron Weasley ended up with Hermione.
Sorry?
Ron Weasley ended up with Hermione, too.
Yeah, 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 like that, which doesn't make sense, but hey, you know. Yeah. Now, the real question is who's going to end up with the, what is it? The Iron Throne. That's the real question.
We shall wait till the next week.
Okay, so now on. Well, actually, now we ran out of time.
This is Maya.
Yes, the crocodile of time is swallowed up. By. Okay, so now you know why we stick to Yudhishthira. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Janatai Gaura Premanandi.